If anyone did not get a palm and would like one, kids or adults, come get one either now or after the service. We'll have them at the middle service. Somebody said, we always got palms. Oh, everybody got a palm. And I see nods. So next year, well, actually, we got enough. If you want a palm, you come get one. And we're going to try to remember that for next year and have everyone have a palm, as long as you don't hit each other with them. So, our gospel lesson for this Palm Sunday comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 21st chapter, the first 11 verses of that chapter. This is Matthew's version of the Palm Sunday events. The Palm Sunday event occurs in all four gospels, and it's told a little bit differently in each gospel, but here's Matthew's version. And when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their garments on them, and he sat thereon. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, back on Ash Wednesday, which was March 1st this year, the first day of the liturgical season of Lent, we began a 40-day pilgrimage to Easter. And the goal of our pilgrimage was to find a way to grow in our faith, to introduce a new depth of living into our lives. This Lenten pilgrimage, this 40 days of Lent, symbolizes for the church the 40 days that Jesus spent fasting and praying in the wilderness. And he did that hoping that he would find a way out of that wilderness, which he did. So since most of us are familiar with a wilderness experience in our lives, we too are looking for a way out. So 6 weeks ago, we began to talk together about how we might initiate that movement toward wholeness in our lives. And the guiding metaphor for our pilgrimage has been the Latin phrase, solvitur ambulando. It is solved through movement. As in, defying the status quo. The status quo is that keeps us immobile, that keeps us trapped in vicious and meaningless cycles of existence, that keeps us displaced, that keeps us in the wilderness. I remember it started with these words. Jesus is walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He sees a fisherman. He says, come, follow me. And off they went. And for the last 2,000 years, we've been doing that. We've been following. Christians have been following. And as members of this body of Christ, as we follow, we're continually assessing our lives and then asking the question of how we might move further down that road of faith and meaning. Okay. We've talked about this, but I want to remind you once again that it wasn't believe this. It wasn't learn this. That's not what Jesus said. No, he was more relational than that. He said, follow me. He said, come with me. He said, do what I do. Live into the kingdom of God with me. And once again, let me remind you, that's our story. That's our story. It's a story of our discipleship. It's the story we gather together in this place to tell week after week after week. And the kids were telling it today through song. And we remind our kids about that because we hope that they're going to tell their kids about it. And on and on and on. If people have done here since the 1840s. And this story is sometimes expressed in these simple words. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Okay? Friends, here in this community, here at Pleasant Grove, we seek out newness of life and faith. That's what we do. In this community, we laugh together, we cry together, we move together, we grow together. And it's an amazingly organic process in which we come from far and wide with a variety of experiences and stories, and we decide to throw it all in together with the hope that somehow we'll be molded together into the image of Christ. A few weeks ago, if you were here, you remember the story of Jesus and the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well. You remember that story? Let me just read a few words from that story. Jesus said to her, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." That week, we talked about the fact that these words and the idea they represent present an idea that is strangely invitational to us. We don't know exactly what to make of them, but somehow we wonder if they just might offer us a way forward in our lives. They just might offer us that way out of the wilderness. So maybe one day we will tire of the status quo in our lives and we'll respond to that invitation to drink deeply from that well. And you know what we call that? We call it intentional faith development. Intentional living. Remember, the question was this: what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? Asked the young man. And Jesus said, you know, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and, that's right, your neighbor as yourself. Wow. Jesus said, that's it. Do this and you will find life. Friends, it's about living into this story. It's about living into that. It's about practicing our faith. And one way we practice our faith is by following Jesus. Believe it or not. We practice our faith by administering his touch. We practice our faith through acts of compassion, through acts of kindness, through acts of mercy. It's about living lives of grace characterized by generosity. We've talked about it. Lives that overflow with goodness. It's about being careful not to water the seeds of suffering, but to water the seeds of wholeness, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. Remember the first half of the 11th verse, the third epistle of John. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. Whoever does good is from God. And John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, believed that a life grounded in the grace of a loving God is a life that expresses its faith continually by pouring out God's grace and mercy into this world. That's who we are, folks. That's who we are. And then they asked him, exactly when are we going to see this happen? When are we going to see this happen, Jesus? When is the kingdom of God really going to be made manifest? And Jesus said, well, you're not really going to see it, you know, in all sorts of fanciness. No, because the kingdom of God is in you. Trying to get out. Friends, that's how we got here today. That's a movement that we have been seeking in our lives these past 6 weeks. Today marks a transition. Today we shift our focus a bit. Today and throughout the coming week, we struggle to put our lives, hopefully our newly focused, directed lives, in context. Today's Palm Sunday. Did you know that before you walked in here? Okay, good, 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 good. Very good, very good, very good. Today is Palm Sunday. Today is the first day of Holy Week. A week we set aside to remember the events that transpired the last week of Jesus' life. This week, the idea is to attempt to place ourselves in the story. We try to visualize the events of that week and how they might impact our lives today. Today's Palm Sunday, the day Jesus entered Jerusalem and began a controversy that would end with his death on Friday, with the crucifixion. Okay, Get the picture. Try to envision this. It's Sunday morning. This is the best calculations that we have. Based on phases of the moon, Passover is a lunar holiday. Based on phases of the moon, and when Pontius Pilate was a procurator in Jerusalem, which was for a 10-year period. So when did Passover occur? A Friday in that time period. April 2nd, year 30, was the first Palm Sunday. We're standing on the top of the Mount of Olives, and we're looking straight across the Kidron Valley, looking to the Temple Mount. People are coming and going in a frenzied pace. Pilgrims are everywhere. It is the week of Passover, and people have come from all over the Mediterranean world to celebrate the festival. It's an exciting day. It's a day filled with limitless possibilities. We're standing on holy ground. Ground where the King David stood, or Solomon, the prophets. We're standing in the city where the presence of God dwells in the Holy of Holies. Jerusalem is a good-sized city, about 100,000 strong at that time. But during Passover, it would swell to over 1 million people. Imagine that. A week-long festival to celebrate Passover. Okay, we've had it up to here, all of us. Collectively, we've had it up to here. We are oppressed. We're oppressed economically, politically, spiritually, and Rome is doing the oppressing. And there's nothing we can do about it. We've tried, some of us, but we've been brutally and mercilessly crushed. Only thing that keeps us going is the hope that God will do something about it. God will send a deliverer, raise up a deliverer to deliver us from the misery we call life. Okay, now remember, 1 million of our closest friends, we've come to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. We think, what is Passover? A holiday that celebrates deliverance from bondage, deliverance from oppression. And so in a climate of discontent and frustration, we tell the story. And as we tell it, we talk about Moses. We talk about all the miraculous things that happened. And our hearts start to beat a little bit faster as we tell the story. Our ancestors were delivered, will be delivered. And as we speak, we get excited about the new possibilities. After all, the hope across the centuries has been that God would one day anoint someone else. Mashiach, Christos in the Greek. Could this be it? Could this be the day? Can I try to take this all? It's Passover. There's an antsy crowd of 1 million partygoers. People are looking desperately for a new deliverer, a Moses, a kingly Messiah, who tradition says will gather his forces on the Mount of Olives, and then will proceed down the Mount of Olives and up and take the city by storm. It's into that religiously charged atmosphere that Jesus enters. He enters the city, the holy city, from the east. Down the Mount of Olives, the eschatological Mount of Olives. He knew what he was doing. Because, you know, Pontius Pilate, representing the kingdom of this world, is entering Jerusalem at the exact same time, but from the west, coming from Caesarea. He's got 10,000 Roman troops with him. Jesus is coming from the east. Pontius Pilate's coming from the west. And Pilate is saying, don't get your hopes up. Don't try anything. Jesus is coming. Something's going to change. And what we see as they gather on that mountain, the excitement, Zechariah and I, rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious, he humble and riding on a donkey. They would remember that. Jesus is counting on it. This was the last sign they needed. They flocked to Jesus as he made his way down the mountain. It would have reminded them of the 9th century story about the coronation of King Jehu. Let me read that from you, from the Kings. This is just what he said to me. Thus says the Lord, I anoint you king over Israel. Then hurriedly, they all took their cloaks and spread them for him on the bare steps. They blew the trumpet and proclaimed, Jehu is king. Sounds similar. Jesus is king. They broke branches off, palm branches, John says. And as Jesus and his entourage passed by, the mass of the people lining the road yelled, Hosanna, which is just a transliteration of the Aramaic word, which means save us now. Save us. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. A collision of worlds, folks. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. That's what the first Palm Sunday was. A collision of worlds. And friends, as we gather together today on this Palm Sunday, it's the same thing. A collision of worlds. Luke is the only gospel writer that shares these words following the story. And I'm going to read those for you now. So listen carefully as we prepare for Holy Week. As Jesus came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." Friends, it's time to recognize the things that make for peace and wholeness and joyful living. It's time to move. Thanks be to God. Salvitur ambulando. Amen.